Welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I hope you had a wonderful weekend as we celebrated Memorial Day, as we hopefully turned our thoughts toward those who gave their life preserving our freedoms. We had a special time of prayer at First Baptist Texarkana on Sunday for those families who had lost loved ones as they fought and bled and died for our freedoms, and we never want to take that for granted. And so there were some great videos that people had posted on Twitter just commemorating Memorial Day and really brought it to the forefront of what's the sacrifice, a tremendous sacrifice was made by those who are willing to give their lives for our freedom. So we always want to be grateful, and we want to remember that day as a very, very special day. And remember, really, all year round, hey, we have the freedoms that we have in America because brave men and women were willing to fight and willing to lay their life on the line. Our law enforcement officers, they do that every day. Our military does that on a daily basis. And we as Christians, it's a wake-up call to us. We as Christians need to remind ourselves that we are soldiers in the Lord's army. The moment that you give your life to Christ, you become a child of the King, and you become a soldier in the Lord's army. And as Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Well, we want to talk about soldier stuff today. We want to talk about the need to stand up and speak up for the truth. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Now, you no doubt have been hearing what's been going on with the pushback on corporations that are celebrating gay pride. You know, June is Gay Pride Month. It commemorates the Stonewall riots that took place in Lower Manhattan in 1969, a series of gay liberation protests. And so they have picked the month of June to say, hey, this is the month that we celebrate LGBTQI, gay, lesbian, transgendered people and the culture and the movement, and companies are just jumping on board and getting behind this. And, you know, Target is I looked online, they're a trailblazer among retailers for pushing gay pride and transgenderism and all that mess. And they're experiencing a lot of pushback now and a boycott. And I saw a headline from the New York Post that says that Target, since they've done this and this latest push on all this transgender clothing that they're putting at the front of their stores, that their stock has gone down to the tune of $10 billion. Well, that's good. You know, hopefully that gets their attention. I posted and I said, listen, either the execs at Target are incredibly stupid or they are so committed to perversion and depravity that they'll stop at nothing to destroy children and families. And it's either one or the other, or it could be a combination of both, because we know that from Romans 1, when we reject God as an individual or as a society, God gives us over to sexual immorality, to sexual perversion, homosexuality, and then to a depraved mind, a mind that can no longer think correctly. It can no longer function. It can no longer add up morally that 2 + 2 = 4. So I ran across this tweet yesterday, and I thought it was really, really just head on or just spot on. It was from a quote from C.S. Lewis, and it had to do with Pride Month. You know, that's that. Hey, we're so prideful and boastful about this month. We're standing up and we're shouting it from the housetops, as it says in Psalm 12, verse 8, the wicked strut about on every side, while vileness, which means worthlessness, is exalted among the sons of men. That's what pride is. We're going to march, and we're going to shout, and we're going to strut about our wickedness. And so this was the quote from C.S. Lewis. The essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. And you think about, we're having Pride Month. That's a fitting title for what they're promoting, because they are shaking their fist in the face of God, so to speak, and says, this is who we are. You know, that old expression that they had, we're here, we're queer, deal with it. And that's kind of the mantra. And so the C.S. Lewis quote about pride is so appropriate. Now, the Bible makes it clear. There are six things which the Lord hates. Six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Number one on God's hate list, haughty eyes, or as it says in the King James, a proud look. God hates pride. And pride, the middle letter in the word pride, is I, and pride is the big I. It's look what I can do, and look at me, and it's all about me, and God hates that. God is God, and the very beginning of all commandments, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of everything. Recognizing that God is God, and you are not God, that we are here to do His will. He doesn't exist to do our will. And God is, as the scripture says, this I know that God is for me, and that is true, Psalm 56, verse 9. But we exist for God. He doesn't exist for us. He's not here, as some people get the idea that God's kind of like a genie in a bottle. You know, you rub His lamp with prayer, and you say some right things and some right words, and you add in Jesus' name, and the Lord pops up, and he says to you and to me, yes, Master, what can I do for you? He's the Master. We're the servants. And so God hates pride. And as C.S. Lewis said, the first sin that was ever committed was by Lucifer. Now, Lucifer was not the devil when he was created. He was created the most beautiful angel, the number one angel. Ezekiel 28 tells us he was the guardian angel of God. He is the top of God's angelic masterpiece, and he rebelled against God. Now, the Bible intimates that Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven, and the sons of God, speaks of angels, they would gather to worship the Lord, and Lucifer would lead them in this worship. And there's something, Ezekiel 28, that tells us about the devil, that there's a musical quality about him when the Lord made him. And so the praise would go through Lucifer to the Lord in a beautiful sound. And so Lucifer, as he was experiencing this and leading the worship and the praise going through him, it dawned on him and he said, well, wait a minute, why is the praise going through me? The praise should go to me. I am so beautiful. I am so wise. I am so wonderful. I am chief. And because of pride, he fell. He said in Isaiah 14, I will make myself like the Most High God. And God said, oh, no, you will not. And it was pride that caused Lucifer to lose his position. And Lucifer, the star of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night. And it was a tremendous fall. He took a third of the angels with him when he fell. And you think about the persuasiveness that this creature had, created being, not equal to God as his opposite in any way at all, a created being. But he was very persuasive. Can you think of leading a revolt in heaven? You're in the presence of God. You're in this perfect environment. And he got a third of the angels to join his rebellious team to go up against God. Well, that was a tremendously stupid plan. That's a losing proposition every single time. God has more power in his little finger, so to speak, than Satan has in his whole being. So God kicked him out, and he became Satan, the father of the night, and every angel that joined him became a filthy, hairy demon. And we don't know how many angels God made. He made them all at one time. But we do know this. There are two-thirds holy angels, one-third demons. And so we have in the angelic realm, they are outnumbered 2 to 1. And two-thirds to one for the holy angels versus the demonic beings. But pride is the mantra of the devil, and it is the mantra of the LGBTQ movement. And sickening how the companies get behind this. As I said, the website talking about Target. Oh, Target is a trailblazer. They're a champion among retailers embracing the LGBTQ plus ideology and their movement, and you have Disney on board, Kohl's on board, Bud Light on board, Levi's, Apple, Google, Adidas, the list goes on and on and on. Well, I love what Matt Walsh is doing. He's saying, hey, we need to take note of these companies that are promoting this stuff and really going after our kids, because they are trying to do such damage to young minds and young hearts and young families. And we need to tell them, listen, you promote this stuff, we're not going to buy from you. And if you think you can make it with just the people that are on your team, and you can alienate, as one person said, 80% of the country that's not for any of this stuff, well, more power to you. But as Target is finding out, as Anheuser-Busch has found out in their Bud Light campaign with a transgender person who recently just came out and said that he thinks he likes women, so go figure with that. Anyway, if you think you can make it that way, well, you're going to find out that your bottom line is going to suffer, and suffer greatly, as it should. Now, I was thinking this morning about the quote from Al Mohler, and it is so true. And this was, gosh, probably given in 2015 or so. He said this: what was once condemned, homosexuality, is now celebrated. What was once celebrated, which is traditional marriage, traditional values, one man, one woman for life, what was once celebrated is now condemned, and those who refuse to celebrate are condemned. That is so true. We're seeing that right before our eyes. You don't get on board, retailers, and we are going to come after you. We're going to smear you. We're going to try and destroy your business. And that's why all these companies knuckle under. Oh, okay, we'll fly the gay rainbow flag. And sickening that they would take something from Scripture, the rainbow, God's sign in the sky that he would not destroy the world with a flood anymore. They take it and they pervert it, just like the devil, to try and do that and work hard to do that. But listen, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. And God sees all that is done, and God is the judge of all the earth. And he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're talking about gay pride. We're talking about Pride Month. We're talking about what does God say about this perverted ideology. So we'll be right back after the break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about Gay Pride Month coming up in June. And I was thinking about that. Psalm 12, verse 8, the wicked strut about on every side, while vileness is exalted among the sons of men. You know, as human beings, we want to do our own thing. It's such a contrast between the Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane as he faced the cross and the pressure of the cross, and he's sweating blood, and he's saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And what does man say? In the core of every human being is selfishness. It's pride. It's all about me. The sin in the garden was, you know, hey, if you eat of this fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil, and you won't need to depend upon God. You can be your own God. That's always at the core of sin. And so I'm going to do what I want to do. Not your will, Lord, but mine be done. And that's at the heart of Gay Pride Month. And it's at the heart of sexual perversion, really at the heart of any sin. It just goes back to, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be my own boss. I don't want God to tell me what to do. Who are you, God, to tell me what to do? Well, he's God. He is your creator. He's the one that you're going to have to give an account to. He is the giver of life. He is everything. The conclusion, when all has been heard, Solomon said, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For the Lord will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There is coming a day of reckoning, and it's not going to be pretty for so many who have this prideful attitude, I'm going to do life my way, shaking their puny fist in the face of God. Some are doing that. Obviously, the whole pride issue is people doing that. But then, as it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one has turned to his own way. That's really, for the most part, that's what sin is for people. It's not necessarily saying, God, I hate you and I'm going to go against you. It's just saying, yeah, I'll just sing with the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is just all right with me, and I'm going to do my own thing. I'm just going to wander and do my own thing. And so it doesn't have to be active rebellion. It can just be passive indifference. But all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him, his son, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we have the wonderful, wonderful promise. All of us deserve, we deserve hell because we've sinned against God. And whether your sin is in the sexual realm and sexual perversion, whatever it might be, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we turn from sin, whatever that sin is, we can find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here is the situation we find ourselves in. What was, as we want to repeat, the great quote from Al Mohler, what was once condemned. You know, 50 years ago, everyone condemned homosexuality. It was just, everybody knew that's just wrong. That's a sin against God. That's just, it's been known to be that way from the beginning. God made them male and female, and God has said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable to him. And the suitable helper wasn't another man. The suitable helper was a woman, and she is like him, but she's different from him. And so you look at a woman, you know, as Adam named the animals, he knew that there were two. They would be a pair. And so here's a Mr. Lion and here's Mrs. Lion. They are similar. You can tell they're part of the same species, but they're different. And for Mr. Giraffe, there's Mrs. Giraffe, and they're different. And he knew that, okay, this one has a counterpart. and they fit together. And the way they're made anatomically, they fit together. And so what does he do? He makes a counterpart to the man, the woman. And man is Ish and woman is Isha. And he makes Isha, and Adam thought this is the greatest thing in the world. And he sees her and he says, man, wow, how cool is this? This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came out of man. And for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. What was once condemned is now celebrated. And if you wonder about homosexuality, I mean, we have J.D. Greer saying, well, God whispers at sexual sin. We shouldn't shout about what God whispers about, and we shouldn't whisper about what God shouts about. Listen, God shouts about sexual sin. He shouts about homosexual sin. There can't be a bigger shout than raining down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and Adma and Zeboim, the cities of the plain, than that. That is a shout. That is an exclamation point to the nth degree of how God feels about that sin. And Peter brings that up. He says in 2 Peter chapter 2, that God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. And so we need to take that to mind and say, okay, God has been clear about this, and the Bible is super clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Andy Stanley called those the clobber passages. A clobber, that means it's just crystal clear of what God says. You don't even need to interpret it. You just need to read it. It's black print on white paper, and it's abundantly clear that that is sin. And so if we're going to embrace sin and we're going to strut about on every side saying, look at my sin, and march in a parade, so to speak, and have this heart of wickedness, well, that is going to bring the judgment of God. Colossians chapter 3, it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. One of my favorite passages in the book of Psalms is Psalm 50. You can do yourself a favor today and read Psalm 50. And the Lord says this, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. And God is, he's a consuming fire. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And as we've shared on this program many, many times, well, the big problem in our nation today and in our world today is we've lost the fear of God. And we don't realize that God is the judge, and he will judge righteously. And there is coming a day, as Paul told the Athenians, Acts 17, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. You can't hide from God. You know, in Revelation 6, when the tribulation period begins and God is pouring out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting, disbelieving world, it says, "Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" God is holy, 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 and he will judge the world in righteousness. And every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account of it on the day of judgment. And so that's the bad news. God hates sin, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you are holding on to sin when the Lord comes, if you're holding on to sin when you breathe your last, then you're going to be separated from God forever and ever in a terrible, horrible place called hell. And that is the judgment that is right, and it's just. But here's the good news. The wages of sin is death, physical death, eternal death, forever death, the lake of fire, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So all have sinned, and we're guilty before God. But there is salvation in the Lord Jesus, who died for everyone, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2. And so he will save anybody who will come to him in repentance and faith. But now, remember this. You cannot get saved in sin, holding on to sin. He came to save us from our sins, and you can only be saved when you let go of sin, when you turn from sin, when you repent of sin, and trust the Savior. And what's going on in the LGBTQ movement? It's people holding on to sin and marching in celebration of their sin, and they have the audacity to say that God is for this. He's not. He's not for any sin. And sometimes, I know I get this, Jeff, you're a homophobe. All you talk about is this stuff. It's because that is being perpetuated on our society as something that's good and wholesome and right, and God made me this way, and how dare you say this is wrong? And we've gone from the phrase, it's okay to be gay, to tolerance, to acceptance, to celebration, to now compliance. Unless you do this, we're going to destroy you. If you don't say that our lifestyle is God-ordained and good and fine and right and holy, then we're going to come at you with everything, and along with the kitchen sink, we're going to try and destroy your life. Well, I appreciate American Family Radio, the American Family Association. I appreciate guys like Matt Walsh, who stand up for the truth and are willing to take the shots and get criticized for standing up for the truth. That's what we're supposed to do. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Listen, people's eternity hangs in the balance. And if you embrace sin, you cannot be saved. Now, can saved people get sucked up into sin? Yes, they can. But you can't become a Christian holding on to sin. And if you're a saved person and you've gone back to the pigsty of sin, you're going to be miserable there. That's how you know you're sinned. You know who's saved. You know, when God saves you, he doesn't fix it so you can't sin anymore. He fixes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. And any person who's living in sin, who's truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and truly has the Holy Spirit living inside, that person is going to be miserable in sin. The best example in the Bible about that is Lot, Abraham's nephew Lot, who lived in Sodom. And the Bible said that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. He had hell on earth. The word for torment is the same word that's used in Revelation 20 about those who are in hell. They're tormented day after day. Well, that's what Lot had, because he was a true believer in the Lord, yet he was living in the city of sin. And he was tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Christian, you cannot have peace and joy and a walk with God that's vibrant if you're holding on to sin. And as far as those who don't know the Lord that are holding on to sin, 1 Corinthians 6:9, very, very clear. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Hey, that's a really key phrase. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's people who are having sex and they're not married, nor idolaters. Idolatry is such a prevalent sin. Nor adulterers, those who are married and having sex with people outside of their marriage. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Hey, God can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And in Corinth, you had people who were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals. You had all of that. Such were some of you, but they repented of their sin. They came to Christ and they were washed and they were set apart, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can be true of you. If you're listening today and you're in sin, you can be set free. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And let's talk together about this subject so critical as we stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Kirby.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about Gay Pride Month that's coming upon us in June. What does the Lord say about that? And what does he think about pride? And what does he think about the situation of homosexuality? You know, young people are just bombarded with that today. And, you know, when you grow up as a millennial or as a Gen Z, in the Gen Z generation, it's different than it was for guys like me, who a baby boomer, grew up in the 60s. We knew back in the 60s, this is wrong. And what was once condemned is now celebrated. What was once celebrated is now condemned, and those who refuse to celebrate are condemned. Hey, it was just universally known that was wrong. Homosexuality was wrong. Living together before you're married was wrong. Sex before marriage, wrong. Adultery, wrong. And we've just kind of blurred all that out. It's Romans 1, 18 through 32 is such a critical passage of Scripture because it explains so clearly what is going on. And when you kick God out of the public square, when you say, I don't want to acknowledge God any longer, as we've done as a nation, hey, we're not going to have prayer in public schools. We're not going to have the Ten Commandments displayed in schools. You know, we don't want God mentioned anymore. We don't, God forbid that we should have our students reading about the Ten Commandments in school. They shouldn't steal. They shouldn't commit adultery. They shouldn't murder. They shouldn't lie. You know, those kinds of things. They recognize that God is God. God forbid that that should happen. So we kick God out, and God, what does he say? Three times in Romans 1, he gave them over. He gave them over to sexual immorality, first of all. Then he gives them over to degrading passions, homosexuality. It's called in the King James vile and unnatural. And then he gives them over, lastly, to a reprobate mind, a mind that can no longer function. It's worthless. It can't add up morally that 2 + 2 = 4. And that's why we argue that men can be women, women can be men. That's a scientific, medical impossibility. The medical community knows when they're honest. They know two things that we fight about today. They know that life begins at conception. That is a medical, scientific fact. Life begins at conception. And that your sex and gender are welded together. They are Siamese twins. They can never be separated. You are either XY male or you're XX female, and your chromosomal makeup is on every cell of your body, and no matter what you do to the outside of your body, you can never change who you are. You can never change who God made you to be. And you can shake your fist in the face of God if you want to, and God lets you do that, but you're going to find out one day that our God is a consuming fire, and it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Christians are called to speak the truth in love. And so it's because we love people and we care about people, we don't want to see people perish. The Lord doesn't want to see you perish. He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. But the day of the Lord will come, and judgment is coming. And if you blow off the invitation to come to Jesus, then one day the door of the ark, to use an expression from Genesis and Noah's day, the door of the ark is closed, and the day of grace is over, and you have missed your opportunity to be saved. And as we can imagine, when the flood waters came in Noah's day, those who mocked Noah and made fun of Noah and made fun of him building the ark and having this huge vessel out in the middle of the dry desert floor, so to speak, that all of a sudden this thing started to careen and rock in the water, in the flood waters. They came and they beat on the door and they pounded, "Let us in." But Noah couldn't let them in. Why? Because God closed the door behind Noah and his family. And the day of grace was over. And you don't want to miss God's invitation. You don't want to blow it off and then find that there is no more invitation, that it is done, and that you missed out on eternal life, and you chose your sin over God's Son. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to take your call as we talk about this important subject, and one that is not popular. And when I talk about this stuff, people get mad at me, and you don't understand. You're a hater, you're a homophobe, you're a bigot, they just start throwing out all these things, and I'm none of those things. I care about people. I don't want to see people destroyed. And so I feel compelled by the Lord to speak the truth in love. And listen, I'm not speaking from an ivory tower somewhere that says, hey, I never struggle with sin. I do struggle with sin because I'm a human being. But I recognize that sin is sin. And I'm not going to embrace sin and all of a sudden say, well, okay, here's a way to stop struggling with sin. Just quit calling it sin. Just move the boundary markers. If you move the boundary markers, then it's fine. You can just do whatever you want. There's no guilt. There's no sin. There's no problem. It doesn't work that way. You have to look at what the Lord says. The Lord defines sin. Sin is lawlessness, and the Lord defines what is moral and what is immoral. I love this quote by Christian professor Robert George. He said there's at least 8 years ago, I ran across this quote. He said, we are rapidly moving toward the criminalization of Christianity. The criminalization of Christianity. To speak the truth in love is a crime, and we're rapidly moving toward that day. And we need to stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross, regardless of what it costs us, because we are on this earth for one main reason, and that is to be his witnesses, to shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for us and how he has had mercy on us. Well, we have Ron on the line from Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I appreciate you taking my call. And in listening to the program, I've heard you share before that probably the most loving thing that anybody can do for anybody else is to tell the truth. And that indeed is what is needed, I believe, today in regards to homosexuality. I never propose that there is a 1-2-3-step cookie cutter. I think there are probably some very deep-seated emotional issues covering a number of years, actually. But the reality, as you quoted in 1 Corinthians 6, is that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But while here on earth, Pastor Jeff, according to the Center for Disease Control of this country, the number one transmitter of the HIV virus, which of course causes AIDS, is homosexuality. It is men committing the act of sodomy with other men. That's not according to Ron. That's not according to the church that Ron and Chris attend. But that's according to the Center for Disease Control. I just think that when a individual struggles with alcoholism, for example, we don't celebrate that. Many times the family gets together and does what is known as an intervention.
Right.
We certainly don't celebrate cigarette smoking or lung cancer or COPD. We don't have a pride day or a parade with the Marlboro man with his Stetson riding down the street celebrating COPD or lung cancer. We try to get people to move away from that. This is a self-destructive, disease-ridden behavior, and it certainly is not something to be celebrated. But here again, you're right. You and I think, are probably similar in age. I can remember when it was very definitely wrong. And while I don't think it was right back then to make fun of or name call, neither do I think it's the right thing to do to just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, live and let live, and that this is love.
Right.
No, this is not love. So I'll just end there.
Yeah, those are great points, Ron. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for calling in and listening to the program. I totally agree with you. And yeah, we love people. We don't make fun of them. We love them, and we don't want to see them perish. And the road they're going on is that road leads off a cliff, and you are callous to the nth degree if you say, yeah, I don't care if you destroy your life. That's our purpose for being here on this earth, is to witness to people out of love, not out of duty to God, although that's part of it, but it's out of love for people. So the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Ron, as you pointed out, the big way you love people is by lovingly telling them the truth, not beating them over the head with truth, but lovingly telling them the truth and pointing the way to Jesus, because this world is going down. It's a sinking ship, and he is the only Savior. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And your sins will either be pardoned in Christ or they'll be punished in hell, but they're going to be paid for one way or the other. And it's Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. A person is a fool to the nth degree to say no to the Lord who wants to save them. So God bless you, Ron. Thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Aaron on the line from Ohio. Aaron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Shreve, thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'll be quick as I can. Okay. Hoping Spirit of the Lord can lead my question to you, so that way I can receive your comment and his word. What I wanted to speak with you about was on the topic of fornication. You had made the comment as you were discussing the scriptures, those who commit these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I totally believe that. My heart is the Lord's. I love God, I love Christ, and I believe I have for a long time. But something I struggle with is fornication. I had a son recently. He's 10 months old. Love him to death. But I was not married when I had him. I'm still with the mother. And I'm realizing that the longer we're together and the longer I continue to fornicate with her, not only am I leading myself into destruction, family as well. And I cannot lead to be the man of God that I want him to be if I'm not that man of God. So I really just you and your wisdom to be imparted to me, and also allow this to be kind of a declaration to the Lord that, you know, this is something that's on my heart. Heavy sexual sin is something that I've struggled with since childhood, from being exposed to things like way before I should have been. And it's something that's heavy on me. So just wanted to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah. So you're not married now, Aaron?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. What's preventing you from marrying your girl?
You know, really just my own mental issues, as far as thinking that I need to have certain things in place before I can propose to her and provide her the lifestyle, and not only the lifestyle that's kind of secondary, but to lead as the man that I need to for my family.
Yeah. Well, you have a child together, and I would encourage you with that. That changes everything. So if there's no children involved and you're with this girl, you're committing a fornication, you need to, obviously that's wrong. You got to break that off and say, you know, and if this is not the girl for me, God, you're not leading me to this person, then I need to just make a clean break. When you have a child involved, that's different. And so I always encourage people to say, listen, give your child a home. And unless there's just some huge red flag from the Lord saying, don't marry this person, you need to get married to them and say, hey, I'm committed to you, and we're going to raise our family in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. As far as continuing to commit this sin with her, if you're really saved, Aaron, there's going to be tremendous conviction. It sounds like there is tremendous conviction, and you're just going to be miserable in that sin. And you have to get to the place where you just say, I can't do this anymore. I'm either going to get married and make this right so that we can participate in this, or I'm going to build accountability. I'm going to get accountability for her. We're not going to keep doing this and displease God. And so here's the thing, and this is what makes homosexuality maybe a different kind of sin. No one is trying to advocate for other sins. As Ron said, you know, we're not having a Pride Day for thieves, for murderers. But we are for homosexuality because we're trying to normalize that sin. You can't. That's a sin. And if we try and normalize fornication and adultery, oh, that's fine. That's good. God wants us to do that. He doesn't. And so we have to live in the fear of the Lord always. But I appreciate you calling in, Aaron, and I'll be praying for you. And if I can help you anymore, just go to the website and you can connect with me at fromhisheart.org. Well, thank you for listening today, and sorry for the other callers we didn't get to you. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and He will use you. I'll be back again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.